First Up rolls on here on TSN 1050. It's Mike DiStefano, Al's brother. Got Aaron Karolnek with me.
Hey.
And we've got the Jays finally playing a game tonight after a couple of days without watching any Blue Jays action. Had the rain out a couple of days ago and then an off day yesterday. Yes,
Aaron? You wonder if down at the Dome tonight they play Wild Thing in honor of Jose Berríos, because on the road he's Ricky Vaughn. You never know what you're going to get. But at home, I mean, it's a lot more predictable. He's been excellent at home this season, and I think for the Jays' sake, they could use a win tonight against a tough Guardians team, Al's brother.
I would say so, and they're taking on Cal Quantrill, though, who's pitching for the Guardians tonight. And Cal Quantrill's last start in Toronto was back in 2019. Canadian Cat, do you want to know what happened in that game? I was looking into it, and it really reminded me how hilarious that game was. It was against the Padres in Toronto, and the final was 19-4. 19-4, the Jays lost to the Padres. That was back when San Diego sucked, too. But he went six innings, gave up just two hits, three earned runs. But the fun fact about that game, remember Luke Maley? He pitched in that game in the ninth inning, got two strikeouts, was arguably the best reliever for the Blue Jays in that entire game. So I'm curious to see if tonight goes as poorly for the Jays and how Cal Quantrill will end up kind of playing tonight.
You want me to bring in our next guest? It's Drew Fairservice, the host of the Spin Rate podcast for The Athletic, joining us now on First Up. What's up, Drew? How are you?
I'm doing all right, gentlemen. Looking forward to Luke Maley being in the building again tonight.
Indeed. Very well done.
See Luke Maley on the mound again tonight? Could you imagine if it gets that out of hand, that again Luke Maley gets to get onto the mound?
Luke Maley is a handsome devil, so any opportunity to see him on in the flesh, I'm all for.
I like that. I like that. You know, it's all about looks when it comes to major league pitching and catching, and Luke Maley a prime example. So, Drew, I mean, we haven't seen the Jays in a couple of nights. They had that rain out in Baltimore on Wednesday, of course, a day off yesterday. So we were debating earlier in the program with Jensen Lewis, who covers the Guardians, for their television network, how that layoff could affect the Jays. And I think you could look at it in two ways. Yes, we had Bo Bichette and Santiago Espinal taking in the tennis last night down at York University. But, I mean, for Jose Berríos, a guy who's been terrible on the road and excellent at home, maybe this is a blessing in disguise for him as he gets the start in Toronto as opposed to at Baltimore. Do you think that's a fair assessment of the situation?
I think that whatever it takes for Jose Berríos to be good, I'm all in favor of. He's just such an important member of the team and a guy who is such a good pitcher. He is, but we've seen a very weird version of him this year. So anything that can help get him right, I'm all for. I think at this time of year, any day off is always welcome. Anytime you give some of those guys in the bullpen a bit of a rest, you know, now they've got 2 days off in a row. Hopefully everybody's fresh. Everybody's going to be ready and looking for work. That's always a good thing. I there's a part of me that would have, you know, thinks that if they were able to kind of stop the little mini skid and get a win on Wednesday night, had the game not been rained out, that probably would have been good for the vibe on the plane, maybe coming home. But also the other side of that is if they had lost Wednesday night and then had just been swept by Baltimore, then the vibes would be at an all-time low. So I think that it's a bit of a blessing in disguise. You'll figure out the other game when they play there on the 5th. I guess they're playing a doubleheader. So, you know, lots of opportunity to get Jose Berríos in a place where he's comfortable and lots of opportunity to get everybody a little bit of rest and a little bit of time off their feet, which is always welcome at this time of year.
Drew, I'm curious to get your perspective on this one, but given the fact that there was a scheduled off day yesterday and then the postponement the day before, everybody's starts got pushed back a day, and then technically with that off day, I guess two. Should the Jays consider, in this case then, maybe skipping Yusei Kikuchi's next start?
I don't know if I'm willing to skip Yusei Kikuchi's start. I'm thinking a little bit more about Alek Manoah. I think there have been some grumbles and some whispers just about his workload. I think he's sixth in the American League in innings pitched or something like that. I'm still a relatively young and inexperienced guy. This is second season in the big leagues, first full season. So I think that any opportunity to get him a little bit of rest is going to be welcome. A guy who's struggled a little bit, you know, his struggles are easy to overlook. But I think that with Kikuchi, you want to keep that momentum. Speaking of momentum, you want to just keep him going out there, keep everything the same for Kikuchi. I think they're really trying to build off of, you know, he had those two four-inning starts that were pretty good. And then obviously in Baltimore, he had a really rough first inning and then was pretty much okay the rest of the way. Really grinding his way, pitching into the sixth inning, which is a bit of a surprise. So for me, you need Kikuchi to get righter than he is. And I think that the desire to get Kikuchi that work, to get him keeping his routine and keeping him focused on the things that are working or can work well for him is more important than the idea of skipping him. If you really need to get a win and the opportunity maybe to push Alek Manoah back, I think it's something that we will all have to keep our eyes on for the rest of the year.
Our guest is Drew Fairservice, the host of the Spin Rate podcast for The Athletic. I've not really heard anyone talk about the idea of skipping Manoah's start, but actually you make some compelling points. Maybe that makes some sense, but I don't know. Any way to avoid watching Yusei Kikuchi pitch a baseball is fine by me. I guess I could just not watch and just, you know, avoid the game. That might be an option for me as well, but passionate Blue Jays supporter. We do a sports radio show, Drew. We got
to
be watching the games.
AK.
Yeah,
tough
exactly, exactly. Bo Bichette. A guy, as I mentioned, was down at the tennis last night watching Bianca ultimately lose, unfortunately, at the National Bank Open. But he has been a guy, I mean, he did have two home runs on Wednesday night, the last time we saw the Jays in action. Has not had the best season by his standards, by his expectations heading into the year. Do you think maybe we're starting to see Bo Bichette come around a little bit, which would be massive for the Jays in the second half?
I think so. I think when Bo Bichette is going well, he's showing that power to right center field and right field that he, you know, he's able to hit those pitches that are thrown away to him as a right-handed batter out to right field as well as anybody. He's got a ton of power, especially for such a small, kind of compact guy. That to me is a great sign. It's a great sign also, and I've credited Pat Tabler on the broadcast talking about how he's going the other way, but, you know, at the risk of getting a little bit like in the weeds. He's still being able to hit the baseball kind of out front. So he's maintaining his aggression. He's getting good outcomes from good process. He is a really good hitter who has a good plan, and you really see him use that, hit those balls to the opposite field. And that's, to me, the number one sign that he's going well. So those two home runs he hit in Baltimore, both out to right field. You know, maybe they wouldn't be a home run in other parks, but they're definitely extra base hits, you know, up off the wall, whatever. So those are the kind of things that I like to see, him being able to use that opposite field with power, not get himself into trouble. And then the other thing he does is, you know, he fouls off a lot of pitches. He is a really aggressive hitter. He's always going to be. And asking him to, like, completely change who he is, I don't think is healthy. But if he can continue to maintain his aggression, do the things he does well, foul off pitches, and then hit the ball hard to right field, that's a great sign. And he's doing all those things right now. So if he can get right. And I mean, this is a guy who has had a bit of a down season, but even that, he's still, you know, above league average as an offensive player who's also plays shortstop. Like, that in and of itself is a valuable player. But even when he can get up to that 15 or 20% better than league average, that's when you become like a star in the league. And that's what Bo Bichette is kind of on that track to do. So I think that there are some really good indicators that he's doing things well and that he's kind of coming into his own. And feeling comfortable to play and being able to do the things that he does well, which is, to your point, exactly what this Blue Jays team need, because that's just another bat. They've got Teoscar Hernandez going so well right now. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is hitting so well right now. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has, like, really remade his game and has really plugged in beautifully at the leadoff spot. So the Blue Jays offense is great. It's right now statistically better than it was last year, you know, when you adjust for the change in the offensive environment. So the more offense, the better. That could kind of cover up some of the holes and some of the patches in the pitching staff. So more Bo is a good thing for sure.
In conversation with Drew Fairservice, host of the Athletic Spin Rate podcast, and it's been 10 days now since the acquisition of Whit Merrifield at the MLB trade deadline. How do you like the early returns so far on Merrifield?
I think he's number one, the base running is huge. Obviously, we saw him tag and score with a really heads-up play on that kind of controversial call at home plate in Minnesota. But the kind of thing that's his calling card. Like, he made an observation earlier in the game. He knows the tendencies of Gary Sanchez behind the plate. and he made a really heads-up play. I think those are the kind of things that we can really expect to see from Whit Merrifield, as well as the flexibility. I think that right now you're seeing Santiago Espinal and Kevin Biggio both kind of scuffle a bit at the plate. So with the injury, I think you'll see a lot of Merrifield center and then maybe even moving in to play some second base late in the game when the Blue Jays make some defensive switches. And I think that's a huge advantage. I think that flexibility is huge. You know, you're not asking for him to do a ton offensively other than maybe be a really good base runner, be a decent at bat. You know, he had a really slow start to the season as well with Merrifield, and he's been hitting better both in Kansas City and now here in Toronto as well. I think it was a smart kind of low cost acquisition that is just adding that other dimension, you know, adding that sort of playoff dimension. If the Blue Jays are going to beat good teams, if they're going to win games in the playoffs, they need to do more than just, you know, slug their way to all these victories. So if you have somebody who can help your defense, help your and help the offense in different ways, taking good at bats and then being that really good base runner, that they don't have as many guys like that. They have some fast guys, but no great base stealers or people who are really adept at taking the extra base, which he is. So I kind of like what you've seen so far. I mean, I don't have his numbers in front of me. I'm sure they're not super, but he's there to do a few different things specifically and a few things well, and I think he's well-suited to do exactly that.
Should be a fun weekend down at the Dome. You've got Barrios versus Quantrill tonight. You've got Mitch White pitching for the Jays tomorrow against Tristan McKenzie. On Saturday, it's Bieber versus Gosman, arguably the two aces for the respective teams. So should be a fun one. Cleveland's a good team, man, so I'm really looking forward to that and looking forward to having you back on the show down the road for sure. Thank you for doing this for us, Drew.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, too. Drew Fair Service. What a handle. Fair Service.
It's not bad.
Love that. I like it. Where do you think that comes from? We should ask Drew.
Should have asked him. Is he still there?
Fair Service. Arad, send Drew a text. Like, where is the Fair Service family
English?
From? Could be English. Maybe Scottish.
Potentially.
That's your bet? English, Al's brother?
I think English. That's going to be my final guess. You got to text him. Now we got to find out.
Text him. I'm very curious. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side with Adam Chernoff from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap podcast. We'll look back on last night's preseason NFL action. And maybe Adam has some methods by which you can make some money betting preseason this weekend. I know he's got a lot of thoughts on the regular season, which is, I believe, 28 days today from the beginning. We're getting closer. And we're getting very close to the fourth hour first up, which is coming your way next.